Hi, and
radio.
Hi, and sorry about that. Hi, and welcome back to Keeping It Real with Cindy. And today I am absolutely thrilled to have Lisa Bouchon. She has so much information to share with us. She's Michigan-based. She actually started getting messages when she was 4 years old. Around six, she knew that there was more to this world than what we see or hear here on Earth. She's professionally, she's known as the survival evidence medium, which I'm going to ask her about. She's an author, speaker, an ordained minister, an instructor, and so much more. Her website is amazing. She has a blog on almost every subject that you could want to know about. And without any further ado, I'm going to bring Lisa on air. Lisa, are you there?
I am. Hello there.
Hi. I am so excited to have you. I mean, the knowledge you have that you can share with the listeners is amazing. I was on your website checking it out.
Now if I could only get off the Benadryl for this cold, and I would make things like just go smoothly.
And I feel bad for you for that. Having a cold this time of the year sucks, but we'll make it through. And if you need to cough or do anything like that, actually, the show is called Keeping It Real with Cindy on purpose. So even if you cough on air, my husband has gone to the bathroom when I was on air and forgot. So it's okay.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because every once in a while I do galleries at night, and it's on Zoom, but, you know, I have to tell my husband, you've got to turn off the TV, because it sounds to me like, you know, even through all the walls, it sounds like dead people talking, because I can hear like the murmur and stuff like that, you know? So I think you've got to turn it off and stop making noise, because I think you're dead.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, my husband sometimes does a show with me, but today I kicked him out of the office. He works from home on Thursday and Friday. And I kicked him out of the office so that he could work out of the kitchen area and watch the dog, because we just got a puppy, and she's 7 months old almost. And,
she
can't live without me more than a few minutes. And so if you suddenly hear a loud noise, it's her trying to open the door.
Oh, my God, my love. You know what? They're just sad as kids are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You remember when if you have kids, you remember when they were toddlers and, like, oh, my God. Because you can't go to the bathroom by yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't do anything by yourself. If I walk out to the garage, she's, you know, acts like I've been gone for hours.
I know.
So,
yes. Oh, my God.
And
I love
her dearly. She's so smart and training easily. And so, but, you know, there's so much. I mean, I know I want to at some point in time, remind me if I don't do it, but I know coming up in July you're going to be teaching in Lilydale.
Yeah.
And
when
I was just reading what you had written. Okay, so tell me, give me the definition of survival evidence medium.
Well, a survival evidence medium is someone who focuses on the proof, continuation of life after death. So that can come forth in evidence such as the spirit person's name, their cause of death, their hobbies, what they did for a living, things that are going on around you now that, you know, I couldn't have any knowledge of, but that the spirit told me, you know, which just proves that they're still continuing on in your life. Now,
mm-hmm.
There's other people who focus on spirit guides and angels and things like that, right? So, and, you know, granted, as a developing medium, one can strengthen, like, particular avenues, I suppose you'd say. But very often, where you go as a medium is directed by the world of spirit, not necessarily you. Mm. Yeah. I started out as a psychic artist. So I would connect in with your spirit person, like your aunt, your angel guide ancestor. But then I also have artistic background, so I would draw them. So,
I always love that.
And there's no one really around me in the area that does that kind of work. So I did it, but you know what? It just came around where spirit just wanted me to do mediumship, just straight mediumship, and drop it. And it's been organically. You know, people they didn't want the drawing anymore. I just want to talk to my loved one.
Yeah.
So spirit will direct you on your path where you need to be. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's how Go ahead.
Go ahead. And so there's somebody in the chat room that was asking, Lisa, the hypnotist, your website, it's like I don't think there's much you don't do.
I am saying I'm not a hypnotist. Is that what you said?
Okay. Yeah.
No, that I don't do.
Okay.
As a minister, we did have to learn how to do like past life regressions and things like that, which is a form of hypnotherapy. But the more I did it, the more I realized that I was ill-equipped and that work should be done by someone who's probably a hypnotherapist as well as a medium.
Right.
Yeah. So
I love that you just said that because it brings up a point. And I think the point is for mediums that are starting out or psychics that are starting out, you know, initially they tend to not be as confident, and yet they tend also, and if you don't agree with me, or if, you know, I'm going to let you say something after I finish here, but they tend to compare their weakness to someone else's strength, and we have to remind them of their strength over and over again so that they build up that instead of focusing their mind on what they're weak in. And so what you just said makes so much sense to me because you're working with your strengths rather than what you feel is your weakness.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have to know our lane, I suppose. And when you're first starting out, you don't know your lane. Because you haven't investigated it long enough. You know, you haven't put the time into really growing it.
Yeah.
And what I see very often with new mediums who are working professionally is that they think everything is literal and that they can't be wrong. So their own ego is getting in their way. Because, I'll admit, I can be wrong. For God's sake, I'm talking to a dead person. How weird is that?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll admit, you know, and everybody should admit that we have our lane, like what we do good and what we don't. And if we have to refer out to someone who specializes in something, you know what? You know what Lisa Williams told me one time, and it just makes so much sense. There's enough dead people to go around.
There's more than enough, I think.
Right. So there doesn't seem to be a competition. So I refer out to my students who are now working professionally, I refer out to them all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is really shows how humble you are because not everybody will do that because of that competitive edge. And I've not ever been competitive. There's certain things I've not been through, and I can't expect to help a person that is going through something that I've not been through.
Yes. Yep. That's great. That's a very important point. It's a very important point. So, you know, there's a huge difference between living through an experience versus just learning about it on paper, you know, or being told about it or whatever. There's a huge difference there. For instance, you know, I've always known what a narcissist was, but I never lived through that experience until maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So, and now I know how painful and how harmful and mentally harmful, like PTSD harmful, you know, it could possibly be for some people.
Yeah.
So I really think that spirit puts us in these situations so that we can learn and grow as well as then we can then use it to help other people. That's what's most important, I think.
And that is kind of what I wanted to focus on a little bit today, is what you just said. You learned about narcissists, and now you're able to try and help other people help themselves that are in situations like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So, you know, the healing part of it, the understanding that generally most things people do are not really about us, but about them.
Right.
You know, about the initiator. And yet we take everything so personally.
Mm-hmm. It is, because we always have this, like, why me or why not me, or, like, what the heck happened, or, you know, whatever it is. Because we always mm-hmm. find, or we try to find a fault, like, where did I go wrong? And 9 times out of 10, it's not, but as long as you are keeping it humble and saying, okay, well, I really messed up that one. But for the most part, if you're in that type of situation, that, you know, because, like I said, I knew about narcissism, but mm-hmm. I never experienced it. So I really didn't fully fathom the enormity of it. And that you mm-hmm. could apply that to anything in your life. You know, unless you've been through a situation, you just don't know.
Right. And, you know, I think once we take responsibility for, and how do I say this, because what is being directed at us is not about us, but what we do with it, we have to take responsibility for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So being the victim, and mind you, if you've never been in this situation, God bless you, you're lucky, but it usually comes from someone who's very close to us. And the problem is that if you have not been a victim from that person, you would say, well, you're kind of crazy. What are you talking about? This is the sweetest person on the face of the earth. So, mm-hmm. you know, so we have to realize that our strength comes in knowing our strength, and as hard as this is, not to get triggered, not to, retaliate, or not to want to strike back, because mm-hmm. we have to keep ourselves over and above that action. And you know what, really, all we can do in the long run is hope and pray that other people do not fall victim, but then at the same time, people see your truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you can do. You know, mm-hmm. so through any learning experience, especially the biggies, you will have those people who agree with you and those people who adamantly don't. And
right.
all you have to do is make sure that you know you're doing what's right for yourself and, but more importantly, to other people.
Right. Yeah. And I could not agree more. And, you know, with what you just said, the triggers to me. Well, and most of my listeners already know this, but I grew up with a mother that was a drug addict and a stepfather that was a pedophile. And
oh, my God.
Do you know, for so many years, especially the younger years, I blamed myself. I wondered why I wasn't loved. You know, all of those inward questions that we asked ourselves. It wasn't until Spirit came to me and I actually took myself away from that inner talk and Googled drug addiction and pedophilia.
Mm-hmm.
That was the moment that I took my power back, because that was the point that I understood how difficult it was to get help in those two areas.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, how you have to be a stronger person. So suddenly they became the victims and I wasn't any longer.
Bingo. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Because then you are the bad guy for exposing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, first of all, I just can't believe that that person would ever do that to anybody, you know, because they were the victim. They've never been a victim of that. So
right.
they have no, they cannot fathom that. The comprehension just isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've never been a victim of something, whatever it is, you don't have that, you just don't have that wherewithal. You don't have the comprehension or the tools that you needed to overcome this, which I'm glad you investigated. And that's what I did too, because I didn't know what was happening until someone told me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I never really put two and two together.
I have another question coming from the chat room. Healer medium wants to know, how important is evidence with mediumship?
For me, as an evidential medium, 100%.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I consider it 100% important. It doesn't mean that I'm always right. But then also, every once in a while, your spirit people might come through and say something that you have no recollection of. And so I'll go back to spirit and try to get some more information to try to clarify what they're trying to say. But if you still don't have any information, I just ask the client, just remember that this was said. Because I cannot tell you, Cindy, how often down the road someone will say, you know, you did a reading for me 6 months ago and it just now came to pass. So, you know, if they didn't have a reference point for it, so they couldn't possibly validate it, you know. So anyways, but at the same time, if you are a medium who is working with the angelic realm or spirit guides or something like that, the only thing that you can do evidentially is to make sure, and I know very often one of these classification of medium would meet in person, and you can pick up some information from the client just to know, like from their being, from their self, from their body, just to make sure that you are on track. And a psychic will do that also. But your validation then will really come in the explanation of any difficulty or life experience that the client is experiencing. Other than that, your only validation is then after the fact, after the reading. So you've got to you've got to educate your client in saying, you know, this might not happen for a little while yet. And if you are a practicing medium and you cannot feel time, you need to start practicing with that. That's very, very important. Because we're all clairsentient. We all psychically sense things, so we can sense time. Whether it's tomorrow or next month, 2 years down the road, or 10 years down the road, we should be able to feel the expanse of time. So then you've armed your client with the information like, okay, so I need to watch for this in this month, or I need to watch for this down the road. And that will be your validation, all right? So then you're evidence-based, but on a delayed note, if you will, right? So it's very important to have evidence, no matter if it's instantaneous. Clients validating, or if it's down the road. It's very important because there's too many shysters out there that's giving us hardworking, valid media.
Boy, are you ever right.
I know. Believe me, I know.
And it's crazy, but I completely agree with what you're saying. And I wanted to mention, because I haven't yet, and we have a caller, that today we are not doing readings, although if you have a question about mediumship or anything metaphysical, we'll take that question. But we're not doing readings today. So, okay sorry.
Well, let me tell you this. So sometimes if I'm connecting in with someone's energy, it just happens. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it like an absolute no-go?
What do you say that again? I'm sorry.
Coming through, can I allow that, or is it just a no-go?
Well, I think you always need permission for that.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I agree with you there. I agree with you there. Sorry, I'm answering my door. I got somebody knocking on the door. You know, my no soliciting sign is obviously not big enough. So anyway, okay. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so let's go ahead and take the caller then, I guess.
Well, as soon as I said that, they dropped off.
Oh.
So it's
so
okay.
A reading. But you know what? If the intent really is the intent is no readings, then I just want to say that sometimes there's a meeting that kind of comes through sometimes. But
well, and I will. I mean, okay, so since you've said that, I wasn't sure, and I certainly never have a guest that I want to use for that purpose. And so if something comes through, you wouldn't mind giving it to them?
No, not at all. But let's start with...
So if you're still listening, you can call back.
Yep. Yeah, let's start with the psychic and metaphysical stuff, and if it happens, it happens. How's that?
Okay. And that sounds fine. Yeah, but I just, you know, so often, okay, there's someone that I'm not sure if it's the same person, but we will go ahead and pick up this call, if that's okay with you.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm bringing on area code 330. Can you tell us your name, please?
Hi, Cindy.
330. I'm sorry?
It's Gary.
Hi, Gary. Hi.
How are
you? Are you the Gary I know?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hello. And so did you have a question for Lisa? Or?
Yeah, actually, it's for both of you. I have a lot of people I know that are basically gifted, but they don't know how to control it. And people are always judging them, thinking that they're kind of off the rocker, per se, if you know what I mean. And they have no way of controlling it. I mean, as far as spirit coming, spirit going, doing what they want, disturbing them, how do they go about getting help?
You have to set boundaries with spirit, like anything else, or we would, and Lisa, I'm going to let you chime in here, but in my opinion, it would be boundaries that you set with spirit, because you certainly don't want them waking you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But Lisa, what do you think?
I think that they, now, don't get me wrong, I'm not being critical or being a snot. If they have no control over their mediumship, then they're uneducated and they don't know what they're doing. And I know that sounds really rude and harsh, but in all things, we should have control, in all things. So as you said, Cindy, to learn how to sit with the mediumship, get educated, take some spiritual development classes, take some mediumship classes, whether they're online or in person, doesn't matter. But if you ever say to yourself, because I have colleagues who do, oh my gosh, I'm so clairsentient, I just can't stand it. Or I'm so empathic, I can't help it. Yeah, you can. And it, because if you say that, then that means you're not in control, right? Mm-hmm. And you, like you said, Cindy, you know, you don't want to be working 24/7. That's not how your life should, that's not what you're here for. You're not Jesus, for God's sake. So you don't need to be on call 24/7. Now, so again, what I would recommend to your friends, Gary, is get some education. Tell them to take classes. If they still think that they have no control over it, then they need to master it better.
Yeah.
Because they shouldn't.
I appreciate it.
Because, yeah, they shouldn't be victim to their mediumship. Because I've been there. I've done it when I was a kid. It happened all the time. So I know what they're going through. I've been there. So they shouldn't be a victim to their mediumship.
Okay.
And
right,
that makes perfect sense, yeah. And, yeah, there's so many classes and teachers out there, you know, for them to learn how to control and how to shut it off. And so Gary's gone. I don't know if we lost him or if he hung him. But, I mean, I could not agree more with you. It's nothing in our life should be out of our control if we can control it. You know, there are things people do that we can't control, but again, it's not really about us. And
so I'm of the belief that we can't really shut it off completely, because we're always connected to spirit, always connected to heaven, right? Because we are part of spirit, right? But I would say probably 98%. Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I completely agree with that, too. I mean, of course, there are plenty of times you and I will be walking down the street or sitting in the airport when spirit will come through for somebody there. But we can turn that off in that moment.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
And so, yeah. So healer medium, after you answered her question, after she said, she's saying future evidence is hard. And so how would you respond to that?
It also is a learned skill. The more you play with this, like in your daily life, not necessarily when you're doing mediumship, but in your daily life. So one of the things that I usually tell my students is, so let's say it's 9 o'clock in the morning, right? And so my intent during the day is to do just that. And I'll go, okay, I want to feel when it's 2 o'clock. Or how often do you wake up in the middle of the night to go pee and you think, oh, it's got to be like 1:30. And you look at the clock, sure enough, it's like 1:25 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can feel the time, right? It's the same concept, but we're looking farther and farther out. Okay, we're looking farther and farther out. So play with it at 9 o'clock in the morning. Say, okay, I want to feel when it's noon without looking at the clock, or I want to feel when it's 5 o'clock or whatever it is. And so put your intent there. And it's really just a practice. It's a learned skill.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny? Oh, this is kind of funny, but if we look at our animals, and I'm going to bring Sadie up again, of course, she's a dog. She doesn't, look at the clock. But she knows when it's 5:30 because she's running around waiting for her daddy to come home.
Exactly.
And so,
are clairsentient. They're clairsentient, just like we are. It's part of being a mammal. And just on a side note, my sister has a dog named Sadie.
Oh.
She's a chocolate lab. What kind of dog is yours?
Well, we're pretty sure that she's a pot cake dog, which I know most people haven't heard of, but pot cake, P-O-T-C-A-K-E, and they come from, they're rescued as street dogs from some of the Caribbean islands.
Oh.
And oddly, she was born on Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, my God,
so,
that's funny.
Yeah, and so she kind of looks like she's part lab, but she's only maybe 48 pounds and smaller. And so, that's what we pretty much think that she is a pot cake. And
does she look like a small shepherd?
No, she looks, gosh, I'm trying to think. She looks like part lab and part something else. I don't really know. But, smaller. She's a smaller lab look to her. And, they rescue them. And they rescue them from different Florida rescues, go and get them and bring them back here and take care of them and then adopt them out.
That's great.
Yeah. And so, a little weird one there. And I'm like, we have another person in the chat room that says, good day, folks. Coffee, anyone? Sure. It's 3:30 a.m. here in Sunday Islands.
Oh, wow.
But we do have another caller, so... why don't we go ahead and pick them up and see what kind of question they have? 814 area code, you're live on the air. Can you give us your name, please?
This is Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Did you have a question?
I do. Do you see anything with my health?
Doing readings, but Lisa said that she would do if she got anything on this.
Okay,
what I'm getting actually is, what I'm seeing, and this kind of sounds kind of weird, but what I'm seeing is three vertical lines. And what that tells me is that there's probably three different areas that you have to focus on, or there's something going on with your health that you'll have to look at three different avenues, all right, or three different physicians or something like that. So keep on going. Your answer's coming. I just feel like it's going to be delayed a bit. So, and I just really feel like you have to be your own advocate. That's the biggie here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I know it's a pretty simple reading, but that's what I got. So there you go. So just keep on going. Keep on plugging. Keep on being your own advocate. Look at different doctors. Look at holistic health. You know, one of the things that I always do, because I know, and you're not supposed to, the patient should not diagnose themselves. But I always go on like Cleveland Clinic or Mayo Clinic or something like that, you know, and look up alternative therapies. So because I'm big on that. But on Amy, I'm just hearing that you have a bit of a road yet. Okay?
Okay. To get a private reading with you, you would go into depth?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I can tell you where to find Lisa. You would go to Lisa Busan, that's LisaBusson.com.
Okay.
I will put that in the chat room also.
Yeah, I also have mediumlisa.com, so you don't have to worry about my. Yeah.
You said also
mediumlisa.com.
Yep, mediumlisa.com. Okay. It'll take you to Busan.com, but it's much easier to remember.
Yeah, mediumlisa.com.
Okay, I will check that out then. Definitely.
Okay, great. Thank you for calling in, Amy.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. I'm just going to put you back on hold.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can I ask, Cindy, where are you located?
I live in Florida.
Okay, so I'm picking
I know, the number.
South Carolina? There's something about South Carolina.
We're probably going there in the near future.
Oh, okay. We love South Carolina. That's just such a weird thing. All of a sudden, it's like I need to go there. I need to, like, I'm being directed anyways.
Yeah, and, you know, we have friends there, and both south and north, and we have never been. And so it's on, we already fulfilled one bucket list, so we moved on to another one. And
good.
The Carolinas are there. And so anyway, you guys, and I'm going to bring this up again. If you do go over to Lisa's website, you're going to find so much information there. And amazingly, her blog covers so many topics. She also has her Facebook page, which she does little videos, which are kind of cool too, Lisa.
I'm on iTunes and YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in all of those, they can find you through Medium Lisa or Lisa Busan?
Yeah, just, you know what, just do a Google for my name.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably really, because I'm all over the place. And it's...
that's what I generally do. I'm the Google queen. Google everything.
Good. But that means you're educated. I always, you know, when I have a client, I always ask them, how did you find me? And probably 50% maybe say that they just did a Google. You know, like, who's the medium in my area or something like that, you know? And I really like when people educate themselves because they've done their homework. They know what they want. They know, you know, what to expect from the medium. And being that I'm on YouTube, you can actually see me work, you know, stuff like that. Right? So, absolutely. I'm a big believer in the client educating themselves before they make a commitment. Yeah.
Oh, I could not agree more. It's, you know, I have people ask me all the time to recommend mediums to them. And I generally give at least three names and tell them to Google each of those names.
Yeah.
And the one that they feel that they resonate with is the one that they should choose.
I agree. Totally agree. 100%. Because so many people, unfortunately or unfortunately, base the reader that they choose by the amount of money that they charge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mediums, you only charge $100 a half an hour. But then I also know some really crappy ones that charge $40 an hour. So unfortunately, you know, someone, if you don't have the means, and I totally get that, they choose the $40 one and they could get completely bogus information. So what I recommend, again, to my readers who cannot maybe afford me, that's why I do the freebies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on both my Facebook page and then the Immortal Peacock, which is a Facebook group that I have. So either free readings or free mediumship readings on those two platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So,
great. Not all mediums do that. And, you know, years ago, I had quite a few medium friends back then, and I would ask them, if I send you 10 reads, you know, 10 people that purchase readings, will you allow for me to choose one that can't afford it to do for free? But you would be surprised at how many of them said no. They wouldn't. And so, you know, I do readings once in a while, but I'm not out there as one. I do more of the haunted thing, working with David Sloan and Key West.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't done a long time, but boy, oh boy, there's some really telling evidence that can be garnered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really, really interesting. There was one I did, oh my God, this one always comes back and just cracks me up. There was one not too far from my house, and this lady's selling her house because she says it's haunted, I can't stand it here anymore, blah, blah, blah. Well, sure enough, oh yeah, it was definitely haunted, but it was by the owners of the house. And what was interesting, I says, I need to go in the backyard. And I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing in the backyard? And intuitively, I could see pigs all over the place. And she said, you know what? Like 100 years ago, this whole area was a pig farm.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just such a weird thing. I mean, what the hell's up with all these pigs?
And, you know, it's kind of what I do is I go to haunted locations with my friends in Key West, and then they'll have me. They normally just call me and say, what are you doing? I'm coming to get you. They don't tell me anything. And they just bring me somewhere and then have me read it. And then and sometimes I walk away with no validation at all. But, you know, like you said, later on, they do their research after I read for them, and later on, they'll call me back and tell me, oh, my gosh, this did happen, you know, kind of like your pigs.
Yeah. Yep.
We do have another caller here, too.
Great.
So I'm going to pull them on. It's area code 814. You're live on the air, area code 814. Who's calling, please?
Oh, I was just on. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. There was another call here, and they hung up, I guess. And so I chose the wrong one. Sorry about that. Thank you for staying on and listening, though. But, yeah, it's kind of what I generally do.
Mm-hmm. I bet you in the Keys you probably get a lot. Oh, my gosh.
There was
probably
it's
a lot.
Like almost everywhere. Actually, it's named, if you look up the definition of Kyle Uso, it's Isle of Bones.
Oh, okay.
Because of hurricanes and war and that type of thing, there's been bodies just pulled out of grave sites and, you know, bones almost everywhere you walk. And most all the places are haunted.
Because you're right by the water, have you ever worked on, like, a naval ship or something like that?
I've been on one, but I haven't worked on one. I work a lot with believe it or not, Robert Goodell. Have you ever heard of Robert?
Robert who?
Robert Goodell.
No,
Okay, this caller has come back again, so I'm going to pull him on the air before I lose him again. Area code 614, You are live and on the air. Who's calling, please?
Hey,
I'm sorry?
Hello there.
Hi. Who's
this is
calling?
This is... There's a bit of a delay. Yeah. This is Bobby from the Whitsunday Islands, the guy with the coffee.
Oh, okay. So you're in the chat room, and you're the caller. Did you have a question for Lisa?
Yeah, I would like to get in touch with a dear friend of mine, a soul sister that passed away a few years ago. Is that possible?
Not in the time constraints that we have for this show. If you're trying to get in touch with a specific...
Okay. I've got another question.
Okay, go ahead.
Will my book become successful?
What I'm hearing is not as soon as you would like, but yes. Right?
Yeah,
not as soon as you would like, but yes.
Yeah, it's called The Gift of Depression, My Little Scrapbook. Yeah, and I was really intrigued by you talking about haunted places, and this is just a personal experience. I was born in 1952 in the Canadian Red Cross Hospital in Taplow, which is in England, in Buckinghamshire. And a few years after I was born, and I was born premature, but a few years after I was born, the whole of the management team of that hospital, that's over 50 people, they all disappeared overnight.
Oh,
what?
My gosh. That's crazy.
So and if you check on the internet, there's quite a bit about it. So it's the Canadian Red Cross Hospital in Taplow, Buckinghamshire, in England. And I was blown away by that, you know, because I was 2 months premature. I was delivered cesarean, and they didn't expect that I would live. So at least I survived and got out before the shit hit the fan.
And that, yeah, I wrote it down because I do have an interest in this kind of thing. So I can Google it later, the Google queen here.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Okay, well, yeah. What I've come to know is that, you know, I was brought up as a scientist, a technologist, but in my own spiritual journey and healing myself from depression and reclaiming my authentic self, I now realize that I know what I know and I know what I don't know, and I don't know what I don't know. And I've had some amazing connections through mediums with people in the beyond, you know. And I've got no blinkers on. I'm open to everything, which is, I'm loving it, you know. I'm 70 now, and my life just gets better every day. I am master and commander of my life, which is why it's so awesome. So thanks, ladies. Thank you, ladies.
That's awesome.
You're so welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
No worries, mate, as we say in Australia.
Okay. Very interesting, huh?
He brought up a good topic or subject or whatever about, you know, he was looking for a connection with his old friend. And when we're studying mediums, we are told that, you know, it's best to wait after someone passes. It's best to wait like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a little bit of truth to that, but not really. And the reason why is more often than not, it's because we, the living, need time to process.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are so intent on specific things that our minds will be shut off to other, other words or other pieces of evidence that come through because we're so intent on a specific thing to happen. So, and then it's also said that the new spirit person has to go through a past life review and all that, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
But
and you know, have you ever heard of William Peters?
Yes. Yeah.
And
so
he was on my show.
Tell me about William.
Oh, I was just going to say he was on my show several times. I've had lots of conversations with him, and he has a clinic in California, which you already know, but for the listeners, and especially for the one that just called in, you might want to look up William Peters. And his scientist that has an interesting story is Evan Alexander. So anyway, go ahead, Lisa.
What I have found is that spirit can communicate right away. It's just, mm-hmm. Grant, you know, no medium can guarantee which person or which person's spirit's going to come through. Of course we can't. But if they're able to connect with my energy, the information that comes through may be a bit PC and choppy because they, like, give me all these ideas all at once. But
mm-hmm.
it's very possible to connect with a specific person in spirit. It's very possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be willy-nilly, like I have no control over who's coming in. It doesn't have to be that at all.
So I have a question for you. When you know that you are going to be doing a reading, say within the next couple of days, do you often have spirits for that person come through with messages ahead of time?
Yeah. Normally what I do is on the off days, and it doesn't, mind you, that doesn't happen very often because remember I'm kind of shut down. I'm turned off. I'm clocked out,
mm-hmm.
let me put it that way. I'm clocked out. But about an hour prior to the reading, I normally open up.
Mm-hmm.
And even sometimes earlier than that, their spirit loved ones may open, they may come in. And what I have them do, like I get the height, weight, you know, name, blah, blah, blah. And I have them go sit in my waiting room, which is actually my living room, because I do readings out of my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have them go sit in my waiting room. I said, you wait your turn. Just wait your turn. And
mm-hmm.
and they do. You know, so when I tell my spirit guides, okay, open the door, and they come. So, and they can come through right away. You know, and it, like
yeah.
I said, it doesn't have to be willy-nilly. You know, I can, what I do when I first start a reading, I say, okay, I've got this person here, this is what I'm seeing, this is what I'm hearing, blah, blah, blah. And who do you want to talk to first?
Right.
That's how I say it. You know, so if it's one of these people, great. If it's not, let's see if I can grab them.
Mm-hmm.
But I will
yeah.
admit, kid, I used to see spirit just as if they were living.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got it shut down because my mother told me to shut up. There's nobody there. So
yeah.
I just, you know, I let that go. So even now at 63 years of age, I do not see spirit as well as I hear them and feel them. So
mm-hmm.
very often I can tell that there's people, that like there's men and women in the room, that kind of thing, and I'll describe them because I'm seeing their faces in my head, like a mental
mm-hmm.
picture. They're like projecting to me. But if they don't, that doesn't mean that your spirit loved one isn't there. It just simply means that maybe I'm not able to pick them up visually, so
mm-hmm.
I need to have them sit on me. So I'm actually
mm-hmm.
kind of inside their aura. So I have them come sit on my lap, so I'm inside their aura, and then I can feel them even better. So they're clairsentient. I am, you know, everybody's clairsentient, and that just kind of built it by having them sit on me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
you're blending with
me? Yeah. You know, it's odd because when I have a family member that was very young, started seeing spirits at age four, just like you. And
mm-hmm.
He was terrified, though, absolutely
yeah.
terrified.
So
and he...
Yeah,
seeing
people walking out of your closet, yeah, you're scared.
Yeah, and, you know, it was funny because, not funny, but he, when he was about seven, I had him come over and hang with me, and we talked about how to protect and keep them from showing themselves, and he had been flunking school. And once he figured out how to stop it, he was in the gifted class. But he
oh, wow.
would cry. He'd say they were in the car with them on the way to school, on the school bus, in the classroom. He couldn't
yeah.
stand noises because he was always hearing voices continually nonstop. And,
yep.
yeah, so children can have this. Of course, he doesn't do it any longer. He doesn't even want to talk about it. But, you know, when you're young, I think you're open so much more to that type of thing. And I'm so glad that nowadays this is a subject that can be talked about instead of what you went through, Lisa, which is this isn't real.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. You know, I remember when I first, because I'd had things going on throughout my spiritual, metaphysical things happening my whole life. It wasn't until maybe my mid-30s that it was almost like a light switch turned on and I couldn't turn it off. And because I hadn't been educated then, I didn't know how to control it. So it was daily, all day, every day. And when I became a professional medium, I remember talking to my dad. I said, do you remember, like, this happened? Do you remember this happened? Do you remember this happened? He says, yeah, but I never really put two and two together about what it was that you were experiencing, just that I said that, you know, it doesn't exist, or I don't know what you're talking about, so be quiet, or, you know, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have no knowledge of that, the likelihood of you telling your kid, just like you're making it up, this is imaginary, this is, you know, you can't prove it, right? You can't prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hard thing. You know, because we are taught to be left brain individuals.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're taught, you know? And when something happens that's spiritual that you can't prove, then you know, how do you know, right? How do you handle that? How, as a parent, you know what I mean? Now you're right that it's the topic is much more open. So parents very often will, okay, like there's something going on here. So. So anyway,
and they're believed more often now than ever in the past.
Go ahead.
More callers when you're done. Go ahead.
Great. That's great. Let's go.
Okay. So I am going to pick up area code 519. You're live on the air with Cindy and Lisa. What's your name, please?
Hi, Cindy and Lisa. It's Jennifer calling.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, I just wanted to add something to the conversation you were just having. So my son, who was very intuitive when he was a baby, but now he's 17, and he just thinks it's all a bunch of BS. About a month ago, he said he was sitting in a meeting with a bunch of other kids, and he heard over the PA system that there was a school evacuation. So he turned to the kid next to him, and he says, why isn't anyone doing anything? He says, I don't know. He said, did you hear that? And he said, yeah, I did. So the kid next to him heard it, but people were just carrying on. He went out in the hallway and saw someone and said, aren't we supposed to be evacuating the school? And they said, well, we don't know what you're talking about. So only he and the kid next to him heard it.
Mm.
But I like it when there's someone else. That hears the same
right.
Thing.
So has this, when was that, Jennifer? When was that?
Probably about a month ago.
Okay, so I'd be very interested in your son's timeline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very often what I see myself, when I have hits like that, and if there's no rhyme or reason to it, what is his timeline? So remember, we can feel timeline, but this would be an evidential thing. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if there's an evacuation. So let's say his timeline is okay. So if I get a message, it's going to be 2 weeks out, or if it's going to be 2 months out, or 3 days, or you know, something like that, right? So when stuff like that started happening to me, it was always on the third day. So, and that's just personal, right? It could be anything. But so I'd be very interested to see if that becomes a repetitive cycle for him where he can actually track it. So he can use it.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can use the information to determine, like, okay, so I know, like, in 3 weeks I really have to be careful, you know, or something like that.
Good advice. Yeah, actually, write stuff like that down. That's very good advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm excited that he's at least open to it and, you know, realizing that, like, okay, this might be a little woo-woo, but it still happened, you know.
Right.
But I'm glad that he's open to it. Yeah.
Thanks, lady. I'm enjoying listening.
Oh, thank you for listening. And we have one more caller. I think we have time for. Do you want to take that call too, Lisa?
Sure. Thanks, Jennifer.
Okay. Thanks. That was interesting. Jennifer.
Hello.
386, area code 386. You're live on the air with Cindy and Lisa. What's your name, please?
Hi, my name is Cindy also. I'm in Florida.
Oh, we're in the same place with the same name. Did you have a question for Lisa?
Oh, well, I do. Could you give me some insight into my situation with my work and see if you see me staying at that job for a while or if you see any issues arising? There's some weird energies going on with some of the people.
Yeah, I agree. What I'm hearing is jump ship.
Jump ship?
So it sounds to me like I feel like it's going to get worse. I don't think it's going to get better. I think it's going to get worse. So do your homework.
I just
start looking
there like less a month ago, and the job was referred to me. It's a big organization. A lot of people have been there for like 10, 20 years. And I thought it would be a really good company. But what is it? Can you pick up on what the problems are, what the issues are with the energies?
There's too much competition. There's too many bosses. Everybody wants to be the boss. And too many brown nosers is what I'm picking up. So there's a lot of people talking, but people aren't really saying anything. Right? They're schmoozing. They're just being nonsensical. So I'm sorry that, you know, they might be having a great time of it because you're playing the game. If you're past all that and you don't want to play the game anymore, you just want to get in, do your work, and get out, I don't know if this is the place for you. I just don't. Yeah. So and if you want to go in there and play the game and be part of their little clicky stuff, then stay where you're at. But I don't think that that's where you're at in this part time of your lifetime.
Wow, do you see something else coming through? Because I needed to pay bills right now, like I can't afford to walk away from it.
Nope, and that's fine. That's why I said you start doing your homework, so you need to start looking right now. So you're going to walk from one right into the other, all right? So start doing your homework.
Okay.
Start looking while you're working, all right?
Okay.
Great. Good luck.
All right, thank you so much.
You're
thank
very
you. Have a great day.
All right, thank you.
So, I think our time is almost up, so I would like for you to tell us about your class, or your Lilydale teaching, July 17th and 18th. I'm going to want you to talk about that a little bit, and then I'd like to give out your information again on how to find you.
Right. I do also have classes coming up, more psychic development classes coming up, probably in the spring, but it'll be in Michigan. Where I live. So it'll be a weekend workshop, very intense workshop. So lots of learning there, but I'm not sure of date yet. I'm thinking April or May. The classes in Lilydale are using psychometry, which is using, and everybody can do psychometry, everybody, because it's a tool for clairsentience, your psychic vibes, but using it, like strengthening that vibe that you already have, and as well as using it for investigative work. So whether the investigative work is investigating haunted houses, investigating police investigations, missing persons cases, especially missing persons cases, things like that, very important, and can be very, very scary accurate. And then the second one that I have is an all-day class, and it's about conducting spirit circles in your house. So not necessarily a seance, but it can turn into a seance, of course. A spirit circle is more about a sharing of mediumship where you sit with the same people very often. I have found people nowadays really aren't committed enough to sit like for months on end with the same group of people just because our lives are too crazy. But, so committing yourself to a development, right?
Mm-hmm. And psychometry, for those that don't know, is touching an inanimate object and feeling the energy that comes from that and being able to get the spirit messages.
Right. Well, there's also like pass-through cognition, which is a form of psychometry where we go into different buildings and feel what's there. All right. So, yes, like I said, you can use that with your haunted investigations. So you can use it with people, places, and things. It's such a fascinating and surprisingly easily and accurate for especially newbies. Yeah. So that's in Lilydale. It's on the west side of New York. It's a little spiritualist, kind of like a subdivision. And so mediums there, and I'm a visiting medium, obviously, and I just teach classes there. I've been teaching there since 2012, I think. I think it's been about 2012. But
yeah,
fun way for me to give back and to help teach the new people who are starting out and teach them well. That's the big thing for me is to teach them well.
Which I can't imagine you would not do. I mean, I love your energy and would recommend you to anybody.
Oh, thank you, Mary. Appreciate that.
And, it's like you're so down to earth, which is something that I absolutely love. You're humble.
Mm-hmm. It's funny.
So, we're going to say that Lisa can be found in multiple places. I would definitely look at her website, which is mediumlisa.com, but Google her name and you'll find a lot of amazing things. But her website is full of information also. So
thank you.
Take a look there.
Thank you.
I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on my show today.
Oh, I loved it. I haven't done a radio show or a podcast in a long time. I used to do my own show, but that was a long time ago. But now I'm just doing stuff online now, either Facebook Lives or YouTube or whatever. But I love just sitting and chatting and teaching because this is really what this is about, teaching and sharing and sharing the wonderful world of spirit.
And you know why I love the radio show? Because I can sit here in a pair of pajamas with my hair pulled back in a ponytail and nobody knows.
Yes, girlfriend. You know it. You know it. Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, thank you again. I really appreciate you taking the time. And I enjoyed this. I think we covered a lot of things today. And you can re-listen to the show at any time. And I have a Facebook page called Keeping It Real with Cindy that you can find if you just do a search on Facebook, Keeping It Real with Cindy. Come on over and join. Tomorrow I have surgery, so I'm not going to probably be having a show next week, but I will post all of the upcoming shows on that Keeping It Real with Cindy wall on Facebook. Anyway, I hope you guys all have like a wonderful weekend. And I love you, Lisa.
Thank you, sweetheart. Back at you, girlfriend.
Okay.
Pleasure. Good luck with your surgery.
Thank you. And thanks, everybody, for showing up today and giving us your time also, and to all of the callers. And for now, I would say good night, but it's afternoon. See you next time. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.